Hello and welcome to a Burkamp Wonderland and Arsenal podcast. I'm Gunnar Gimley and tonight my guests are, first up, he's fat, hairy and he still has to be here, it's Danny.
You alright?
Yep, dropped the GFP this week.
Hey, did anybody else have that feeling that as soon as you went, hello, I heard in my head the Davis going, hello, wherever he does it.
I swear I say the intros faster now, yeah. Even though it's just like, yeah.
Just
like
so he can't get in.
It's podcast Tourette's is what it is. Hello!
You got the is it the yips or the jips with the dart where you can't let go? You have to...
I don't know. It's just, hello and welcome to...
Yeah, that's it.
Right, next up, cricket lover and son of God, it's Raj Patel.
Hello, Gimli!
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been about 5 weeks, hasn't it?
Where you been?
I've been on tour for a month and then went over to Delhi and watched a couple of the World Cup T20s. Sadly, England lost in the last over.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. Met some nice people there. And
on the last pod, Raj, we had a question. How upset is Raj that India lost in the cricket? I don't know if that person was taking the piss or not, so I didn't ask it.
They're probably serious, but I support England.
Yeah, I know you do.
I've gone around the world watching England play cricket. Ashes everywhere.
You do sound quite English.
South Africa last winter. Yeah.
Why haven't you gone to Argentina?
There is a funny thing, isn't it? You know, apparently if you've got Asian descent, you have to support Pakistan or India, but I don't. You know, I know a lot of my uncles and aunts do and stuff, but I've always supported England football, cricket, whatever. So I'm not embarrassed about it at all.
Can tell by the sound of your depression in your voice. Why haven't you gone to Argentina with the rest of your lot?
Because I was on holiday and someone else did do that gig anyway. Apparently it was a nightmare anyway, so it was good.
But we've got a listener down there.
Well, yeah, I'll meet him one day.
Yeah?
I'll meet gooners everywhere.
Good.
We'll talk about that later on, shall we?
We can do. Lots of good questions.
There's a little bit in the show about that.
Leave that one to me.
You've got it.
Right. Okay. And finally, I'm a goonaholic, you're a goonaholic, but there can only be one real goonaholic, and he's here. Hello, David.
Good evening, Gimli. Thank you for inviting me back.
You're part of the furniture.
The old bureau rotting away in the corner.
Oh, the trusty steed. Right then. First up, we'll go over to Danny for all of the scores across the board.
I'm about to throw my bloody controller at the skybox. Typing in the numbers, it just goes blank screen, nothing. If you work for Sky, I hope you get the flu. That was very generous. Okay, right. Damien Martinez, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Again, he was an unused sub as Wolves drew 0-0 with Ipswich and beat McDonald's, the Scottish team, 2-1. He last played for Wolves on the 7th of November last year. That loan, failure. Ainsley. There's someone who tweets me whose name I can't remember is going to be very happy and smiling at that, you cheeky monkey. Maitland-Niles.
Conservative.
Ipswich Town. He was not in the squad as Ipswich drew 0-0 with both Bolton and Wolves. With Wolves and Charlton. He has not played in any of their last four games. That loan, verging on pointless. Chupa Chupa Akpom.
Akpom.
Bless you.
His name's fucking Akpom, Danny.
He's named after the company that makes the lollies, the Chupa Chupa lollies.
No, just say it properly. Say Akpom.
Properly. I'm going to say it properly.
I thought he's catching.
Oh, do you see someone left a message on SoundCloud saying we're both dickheads?
But
he spelt you, G-I-M-L-I-E. Who's the dickhead now? You can't even get your made-up name right.
Who's the one that looks like a cunt here? Not me.
Anyway, old Chupa Chupa. He was not in the squad as Hull beat Bristol City 4-0, and then they lost 4-0 to Derby. Crazy, crazy season for the Tigers. He has not played in any of their last three games. I should get closer to the screen because I can't read my own bloody typing. Isaac Hayden, he was not in the squad as Hull beat Bristol City 4-0, much like the above, but he was a sub in the 4-0 loss to Derby. He has played 73 minutes, and that is in one game, in their last 10 games. Both of those loans, failures. Now then, Super Super John Turrell, future Argentinian legend. He started both their last two games. They lost both of them 2-1 to Charlton and Brighton. You know you're knackered when you lose to Charlton. And breathe. He has only missed one of their last 28 league games, and he has scored in 34 league games, 8 goals, 4 assists. Now that is a successful loan and are welcoming back to our warm bosom next season. Wellington, the boot silver, he was not in the squad for the last two games. They lost 1-0 to Reading and 3-1 to Brentford. Bolton have got a new manager. They've seen how crappy he is and gone, nope, son, you are not playing. Get out, you toilet. Yaya Sano goals. Well, I can't say that anymore. He got a hat trick, didn't he? And he got 4 in a friendly for us.
Just put Yaya's fucking useless.
So Yaya's a fucking useless. He's back after his 3-game suspension and played the full 90 minutes in the 0-0 draw with Ipswich. Down to League One, Glenn Kamara, who is he Icelandic or Finnish? Anyway, somewhere cold. He was not in the squad as they lost 2-1 to Blackpool after quite a decent run for Southend. Gideon Zelalem.
Na-na-na-na-na.
Finally, the man is back. He came on for the last 10 minutes in a 3-3 draw with the mighty Raith Rovers, and he was an unused sub in the momentous, the astounding, the wonderful 1-0 win over Dumbarton. And do you know why that was so good?
Don't know.
Rangers are now back in the Premier League. They have won the championship title. Not for me, I'm a Celtic and Berwick Rangers fan. So Rangers back in the Scottish Premier League. Ooh, ding dong. So that'll be a two-team league next season, maybe. I don't know whether they're going to have the money to do that. I'd say that loan is successful. Wojciech Szczęsny of Roma started in the 4-1 win at Lazio, who then fired their manager. That's now, for his last 10 Serie A games, 9 wins and a draw. That, I'd say, is a successful loan. But it's more of a we don't want you at the club loan, more than a go out there and get some experience loan. Matthew Debuichi, Bordeaux. He was not in the squad for the 2-1 win at Monaco. That's 5 games in a row he has missed now. I think 3 of them were because he had a knee injury or something. And the other 2, they just don't want him in the squad. More doom and gloom. The under-21s. We lost 1-0 at Blackburn. We are now 8 points beyond the leaders' derby with 3 games in hand. At one point, we were 4 games in hand and about 5 points behind them. But we've lost 2 games in a row now. But we're only 1 point behind Villa, who are in second place, which is there's only 2 go up in this league. So we're 1 point behind with 2 games in hand. Please don't mess this up, ladies and gentlemen. The under-18s, more bad news. We drew 2-2 with Man City in the second leg of the FA Youth Cup semi-final, but lost 4-3 on aggregate. Chris Woolock and Doniel Mallon scored our goals, and those two are names to keep an eye on because they're something else. The ladies, apparently their season has kicked off, David.
It has.
We drew 2-2 and then won 4-3 on penalties as we beat Notts County in the FA Cup semi-final to make it through. No, made it in the quarter-final to make it through to the semi-final. I don't know who we're playing in the final or the semi-final.
In the semi-final, they did the draw this week. We've got Sunderland and Manchester City are playing Chelsea in the other one.
Oh, through to the final then. Lovely, and get murdered in the final. The goals from Kelly Smith, who is an Arsenal legend of sorts, and the sub, Pablos Sanchon. Wow, that's a name. And during the penalty shootout, our keeper, Sari van Vindendal. I might actually have said that name right.
She is brilliant, by the way.
Is she? She saved 3 penalties, didn't she?
Yeah.
Wow. They've only just signed her this season, haven't they?
Yes, yeah.
I thought so. And I'm not even reading that from anywhere. Yeah, so did you watch the game?
I didn't see this one, no. I watched the game before last week. They're not a bad-looking side.
Yeah? Do you think we've got any chance with Man City and Chelsea having all of the money and Liverpool?
Yes, because we've got probably a stronger squad than Manchester City.
Yeah.
Although they nicked a win over us last week. That was largely because we had someone sent off after 12 minutes. Oh. And you can't, unfortunately, losing a player at that level against a team like that, it's cost us dear. But that if that's the only one we lose to the big sides, if we can draw with the others away, beat them at home, yeah, there's a chance.
Oh, never know. Back to the glory days, hopefully. Gimli, that's me. I'm all done.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah, well, that was
nice and chock full of information, as always. Well, love it.
It's like a smorgasbord. A smorgasbordarian.
I can't believe we've used an intelligent word like that on the podcast.
No.
And it came from you.
Woof.
It's a food term. Why do you think he knows it?
Don't you fucking join in as well. Oh, kick the fat bloke.
Yeah, fat oi. Shit.
Oi. Get on with it.
We'll continue the show then by talking about our last match, the 4-0 home win against Watford. To kick us off with his thoughts, we will go to David.
Ah, I thought you might say that. It was a day when, unfortunately, I was going to see Raj at lunchtime and he'd gone down with man flu. Oh. But four of us still managed to get together for a bit of lunch. So my memories of the game are a little bit woozy.
Through beer goggles.
Yeah, something like that. Certainly was by the end of the day. It was a good trip home. But no, we started off. It was what you expect to see from Arsenal when spring turns to summer. You get a bit of sun on their back and they seem to have stumbled upon, purely by chance, a very balanced 11 at the moment as well. And where we've not started strongly up until the game at Goodison, the match before Watford, we've completely changed that around. And they were on fire from the start. We had the first goal was, about 4 minutes in. Alexis Sanchez thumped one in after he'd had a header saved by Gomez, who I notice hasn't been so quick to come out and talk about the Arsenal in the wake of this game as he was after the cup tie. But it was good to see him back to his usual self. Ended up with a bad back, picking the ball out the back of the net so many times. The one real good thing about the first half that I must mention is that everybody decided to support the 7th-minute round of applause for Rocky Rocastle. It was absolutely fantastic to see just about everybody in the stadium stood up, even where I am in West Lower, standing up and joining in with the applause and the singing. So that was a kind of goosebumps moment. So pleased to see. Thereafter, it was really men against boys. I don't know whether it was the fact that we did play so well or that Watford were bad, and there's possibly a little bit of both. But with Iwobi and Mohamed Elneny absolutely outstanding in midfield, the two of them really ran the game. Elneny, I read somewhere afterwards, he had 126 passes, and all but about 12 of them found the mark, or was it six? All but about six found their target, and that's a record for the Premier League this season. But he was just absolutely something else. And the second half, we carried on exactly as we'd played in the first half, really well. And Hector Bellerin, goodness me, he got himself a goal. It's a bit of a deflected effort, but that was good to see. It was his first goal of the season. Mesut Ozil was his usual self. He managed to feed in a few people, had a couple of shots himself, one saved by Gomez that was close. And then towards the end, when we started, we got a little bit showboaty for the last quarter of the game, when we should have really put them to the sword. But when the substitutes came on, obviously they were a bit more keen to get going. Ozil found Joel Campbell with a fantastic ball out on the left, and Campbell just laid it on a plate for Theo Walcott. So 4-0, it was an impressive scoreline, an impressive performance, but put into context that Watford were pretty poor.
Mm. No, I totally hear you. Raj, it was nice to watch Arsenal play with a little bit of passion and urgency about their game. We've not really seen that a lot this season. It's almost as if that loss to Watford in the FA Cup fired them up for this one. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it was probably the best performance we've seen from the team in 2 or 3 months, which is a small regret, obviously, because if they'd kind of been playing like that for a while, we'd probably be a bit closer to Leicester now. But yeah, it was an excellent performance. As Dave said, Elneny and Iwobi were fantastic. And I'd just like to see that kind of level of performance over the next few games and try and keep some sort of pressure up on Leicester and Tottenham, because it's still mathematically possible, but it's down to us to get these wins in now. 3 points every time.
Definitely so. We'll talk about a couple of the star performers for the game, Danny, and we'll come to you. Alexis Sanchez got us off the mark, and he was lively all afternoon, wasn't he?
He's a wonderful, lovely Chilean, and I want to, is he Chilean? Of course he is. I always get him and Espina mixed up where they come from. Yeah, he was absolutely brilliant. And I've said for quite a while, remember in the whole of the transfer, the window in the summer and the winter transfer windows, if I can get that out right. I was saying that I want somebody to play on the left-hand side. I was saying me and Dom were both saying that we wanted Mario Götze or the two that are at Wolfsburg. He scored last night. André Schürrle, and what's the other one at Wolfsburg? Left-sided attacking midfielder. Yep, that's it, people at home and on the tractor. That's the one I was on about. And I said, no, we don't need him. We've got Sanchez. I said, me and Chris, I remember saying that if you buy someone for the left-hand side, then Sanchez, who is a naturally right-footed player and plays roughly on the right-hand side when he plays for Chile, maybe slightly over to the Ozil position a little bit more, but he's so good. He said, just go and play in goal if you want. I said, I want to see Sanchez playing on the right-hand side because he's had his first great season where he scored all those goals because people, you always get that first season, don't you? And then he was running down the left-hand side and then he'll cut in on his right foot and go, oh, people aren't expecting that because if you're down the left-hand side, you're going to run down the left and then you're going to maybe cross it to the left or you're going to come in with your left. So for the first season, he got that season and now they've all sussed him out. And so that's why all this season he's had so much trouble on the left-hand side because they know he's going to run down and he's going to cut on his right foot. So I said, now's the time that we need to get another player on the left-hand side and then Sanchez play on the right, which for me is by far his best position, either there or in the Ozil hole, or maybe even as a little bit as a striker as well. Like I think I saw one of the teams at the weekend. I think they played with no strikers. They just had it was Germany. That was it. Germany when they played the international game a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure they started one of their games with no recognised striker, like anyway, people will know that one. What about hopefully? Because I'm gibbering on like a fool. So we played him on the right hand side, and now that combination up front of Iwobi on the left, Ozil in the middle, Sanchez on the right, and Welbeck more importantly up front. That four have come together just well. It may be a game or two late, but that is clicking superbly. Iwobi full of confidence. Sanchez has all the skills. Ozil dropping back a little bit deeper into midfield. Remember earlier in the season when I think Coquelin maybe got sent off, or somebody that was in midfield got sent off, and then he dropped back into playing central midfield. And I thought at the time, yeah, that looks like he could do a job because he's not having to attack as much. And he can, you know, when you sit a little bit further back, you get to see a better panoramic view of what's going on ahead of you. And I thought, well, I quite like Ozil in that role, as long as he's got someone to protect him, because if he doesn't, he's going to be kicked up in the air the entire game. So he's moving a little bit further back. Iwobi is full of confidence, and Welbeck is, there's a cat, hello. Don't stick your nails in me. God, it's 2 weeks now. I've been attacked by a cat mid-pod. So Welbeck is brilliant, and it's good to see Giroud on the bench, because remember when Theo started playing up front for the beginning of this season, he was Giroud weren't happy. When Giroud come on, he was angry, and I think an angry Giroud is the best kind of Giroud. So that is that front four for me, with those Elneny, like David was saying, Elneny with those passing stats, absolutely stunning playing in midfield. But I think Sanchez is the one that makes everything tick there, because he's like the Bergkamp of Arsenal. And some people may say it's the Ozil, but Ozil doesn't score the goals. Sanchez is the one that, if I was playing in that team, he's the one, like you were saying, he had an outstanding game, that he's the one I'd look to make the magic happen. And he is, and it is absolutely stunning to see. I'm just looking, he got an opt rating of 9. He had 4 shots on goal, 84% pass success rate, and Blue is the other team. Yeah, so just absolutely stunning. And I actually look forward to watching us play when we have those four up front. So I expect Wenger to change it any day now.
No, he probably will, actually. Raj, you haven't been on for about 5 weeks, which pretty much covers the emergence of Iwobi. But he had another goal and he got another man of the match. He's a tasty player, isn't he?
He is. He's looking very, very good. He's looking very accomplished on the ball. He's got a lot of style. He's got a lot of quality. But like the person I am, I want to see him play 12, 15, 20 games before going completely overboard with him, because he's still got a lot to learn and he's still got a long way to go. But he's had a great start to his career. I've still watched all these games while I've been away, and he did a little periscope after his first one, and a little alarm bells went ringing because he was acting like a real twat, really, basically on periscope. And I just thought, well, hold on, you know, just stay humble for a bit longer. He's got everything in him that to make him into a really, really good, great player. But I just want to just kind of rein everyone's hopes and aspirations a little bit and allow him to play a good 20 games before we make even bigger judgments than that.
Did he have a touch of the frimpongs?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, when I saw the periscope, the first word that came out was Dench. I thought, Dench, this is frimpong again, you know. And I thought, no, hold on, you know, you've scored a goal, brilliant, enjoy it, but don't act like a tit on social media. because we've seen that happen before, and we know what happened to Frimpong. But he's a better player than Frimpong, even now. I know we all got excited about Frimpong because he played a couple of games and he did well, but Iwobi has the class. He just needs that attitude now. And let's not go overboard just yet. Just enjoy his performances. And, you know, we can cross our fingers and hopefully, you know, sometime in October, November, we'll start thinking that he's the real deal. But he needs to get more and more games. It's just like Elneny, really. Just give those two loads of games because they do look good.
Jim, are you asking anybody about comparing this game to the FA Cup game? Or can I ask?
Oh, no, go for it. Oh. I haven't got anything.
Has anybody got any idea of just how, when Watford play their virtual second team, as in the FA Cup, they beat us 2-1 at home, they play their best team and we smashed them 4-0 at home within a few weeks of each other. Has anybody got any idea on why that happened? Because I don't.
I think it's because we turned up for this game.
Yeah. Apart from that.
A lot of people are arguing that there's no pressure on us now, and we're now, you know, when there's no pressure, we can be flat-track bullies and stuff. I'm not too sure that's the right argument. I think when we played Watford in the Cup, we were completely insipid that day. It was depressing to watch. I was there myself. But it was in the middle of a horrendous run of results. And I think there was no confidence. And this time round, you know, we're playing with a bit more freedom now. So I just hope we carry on playing like that.
I did kind of, if I remember the first game correctly, the first half, we were absolutely in control of it, but we didn't have Iwobi in the side. We didn't have anybody playing with any urgency, and what chances were there were sort of half chances. There was no real opportunity to score, and I think everybody thought when it was 0-0 at half time that we would come out and we would do the business in the second half. And in fact, Watford came out and caught us cold and got two very quick goals. And it was only when we made the substitutions and we threw Danny Welbeck on, from memory, Walcott I think got thrown on, it was only then that we kind of got into the game. But it was by the time Danny scored, and then of course missed one, he hooked one past the post when it looked like he was going to equalise, but we'd left it too late, in all honesty. I think we got caught cold, but we weren't the worst side on the day, if that makes sense.
David, we'll stick with you. Raj talked about Elneny there, and we've spoken about his numbers. Just how far does he have to go to earn a place in this team? I mean, he's putting in some good performances. You know, he got a goal against Barca, and he looks really at home in the team. He looks a good solid signing, doesn't he?
Yeah, I was talking about him elsewhere last week, actually. And he kind of, the reason I think he and Coquelin work so well is that he is the closest, although not in stature, but in style, to Santi Cazorla, because he does look to get the ball played forward quickly. Doesn't matter whether it's 5, 10, 20, 30 yards. He's got a range of passes about him, and it keeps the side moving. And, of course, now you've got Iwobi, Ozil and Sanchez in front of him as well. It's kind of where we've got back playing at the pace that we look good at, which we haven't played at up until Goodison. We haven't played at that pace since October, I don't think. I think in answer to the first part of the question, what has he got to do to stay in the side? Keep playing the way he's playing at the moment. I don't think Aaron Ramsey reclaims that spot automatically when he's fit. It'd be interesting to see Santi, if he's back midway through April, maybe towards the end of April, do we need to rush him back and risk him having a recurrence of the injury? I don't know. I'd be tempted, as long as he's on his current form, I'd be tempted to stay with him.
If he's playing like this in a month's time, say by the end of April, as Dave says, and Santi's available, I think he'll keep Santi out of the team, because you can't drop someone who's playing like that. And Santi's been out for so long, he's just not going to be match ready anyway. And also, you know, if everyone's hopes are fulfilled, we might be there with a sniff. You can't be taking gambles at that time of the season.
No, definitely not.
And we don't know whether he's an injury-prone boy or what yet. It's his kind of first half a season in English football. He might just find it all a bit fast for him after half a dozen games, you don't know. But certainly the way he's played the last couple, he's a class act.
Our medical team are yet to ruin him.
You can say Arse Blog, you're on there, because he's the granddaddy of podcasting. And yeah, people should go and hear your dulcet tones on Arse Blog. Is it Arse Blog? He's got two or three accounts. Never sure which one is used for the podcast. It's Arse Blog, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
He's got about three accounts. Yes, Andrew. Oh, he's a lovely. He's been on with us three times.
Yeah, he has. He is a really lovely guy. Go and give him a follow.
And go and listen to his podcast. It's better than ours.
Seeing as you piped up, Danny, we'll speak to you about Hector Bellerin. Just how good has he been for us this season? I mean, he's got his first, like David said, of the season. I know he's got quite a few assists, hasn't he?
Have you heard the tweet that was going around about that?
No.
He said, Hector Bellerin, you know he's having a good season when he's got more goals than Hazard and he's got more assists than Fabregas.
who's Hazard?
Hazard. Eden Hazard.
Eden Hazard.
Yeah. That's a slightly effeminate French accent, Belgian accent. Same
is
thing.
He on course to be the best right-back we've ever had?
No, that's Lee Dixon.
Oh, goodness me, that's soon.
And Pat Rice. Mm. They're way too... sort of, bloody hell, I think David would have smacked you if he'd been in the same room. Go on, Dave, you can have that.
No, I didn't say right. Who any on, was. I like just,
heathen!
No, I just said, is he on course?
No,
I
mean, he didn't. He said he is.
No, I didn't.
No, he did ask the question. I think the question a little soon.
But he's definitely he's right up there, though, isn't he?
But I did say on course, so...
I know, I'm just being mean to you. Like, you're mean to me for every pod for the last 147 we've done.
You got just fat.
Shut up!
I can't get over that fact, do you know?
Oh, I'm cuddly.
Put the pie down, get a treadmill, and... Oh, no, actually, you're in a wheelchair. You can't get a treadmill.
No.
Oh, this has gone bad quickly, hasn't it? David.
Did you see that video that the Offspring put in the WhatsApp group of her tickling me, and then I can't breathe, and Dom goes, he's not breathing! Tickles me under my armpits and in my neck, and I just go, I go all Christopher Reeve on her.
Oh, no, Danny!
I'm allowed to, he's one of my own.
David, Hector Bellerin, do you think that there will be Barcelona interest this summer, and do you think his head could be turned?
Yes or no?
I would be surprised if there wasn't any interest from Barcelona, but I don't think he... I think, as with Cesc, I think he'll want to get some years under his belt here first. Let's hope we haven't got to face that situation in maybe 4 or 5 years' time.
Mm. But I think he's pretty happy at Arsenal. I think he came out about 6 months ago and he alluded to the fact that when he got offered the deal with Arsenal, he took it with both hands. And he looks back at Spain now and most of the people that he was at La Masia with are playing like third division Spain. And, you know, Arsenal have given him the chance and they've been good to him by putting so much faith in him.
And with possibly John Terrell coming back next season, maybe, and getting a promotion to the first team squad.
Yeah, hopefully
There's a bloke he's known for most of his life.
I was speaking to someone this week that has a good grasp of Spanish football, and he told me that when we signed Bellerin and Terrell, it was the player we actually wanted was Terrell. So Bellerin just came extra and look at where he is now. He's just an incredible player for me. Absolutely love him. Raj, we'll go to you next because Theo Walcott took off his invisibility cloak in the 90th minute and he got a goal. What's your thoughts on him? He's taken some powders lately.
My opinion hasn't changed, really. It's nice to see him score goals. We need everyone to play well and he's a squad player, so I'll back him 100%. But I haven't changed my mind about his future. I think his future is elsewhere. Whether we sell him or not is another thing. That's just my own opinion. But if he wants to score loads of goals now, great. But it's not going to change my opinion whatsoever of him. I think he's had his time here.
Mm. Anybody else want to come in on that? Is there any Walcott fans among us tonight?
I'm not as down on him as most others are, but I think he's getting to the stage where we want to see some consistent finished product rather than it's been an inconsistent season for him.
Do you want Theo to carry on like he is now, you know, up and down all season, or do we want to give Iwobi the games now and see whether you know you're gonna have to choose between the two of them at some point?
Yeah, and I did say last week I wouldn't be at all surprised if Theo did go in the summer, but, and it's a big but, he is English, he's homegrown, there's a premium on his head. Who would be prepared to pay the English premium, particularly in an inflated market this summer, for him? I don't know. I think it's touch and go whether we could find a taker at the sort of money he should command in the summer.
I think there'll be plenty, to be honest. I think it's, well, we could talk about it another time, but there'll be plenty of clubs with plenty of money this summer.
But Lukaku going for 70, we've got to get 40 for him. If they're going to pay that,
we won't
much.
Get £40 million for him.
Probably get 15 or 20.
Yeah, 25 max.
Well, this summer, the market is going to be crazy because you've got the Chinese buying, you've got the television money really kicking in. So everybody in the Premier League has money. And that will drive prices up.
You've got American teams coming to prominence as well.
Yeah. His career might not be in the UK or Europe. That's all I'm saying.
He's worth a lot more than 20 million, though.
Yeah. But we can't paying 110 grand a week for someone who is essentially useless as a sub.
Do you know what? Theo Walcott, really, when I sat here and think about it, MLS, Theo Walcott, he is like the kind of marquee player to go over to MLS, earn an absolute shitload of cash, be average, but be a superstar for their league.
Well, it happened with Giovinco. He went to he went to Toronto. And Giovinco is the highest paid player in MLS up until the end of last season. That was, because I don't know who else has come in, like the likes of Gerrard and Cole. But then he's only in his late 20s, and he's one of the top goal scorers. Yeah. And he's done wonders over there, but not a patch of my mighty Portland Timbers. Go Timbers. But,
I was thinking the other day, it was quite funny, is that if the club had any nous about them, we'd be courting some of these Chinese clubs and saying, you know, you can have him for 40, you can have him for 50. These clubs can afford it. Why not sell some of our players that we don't need to China? These players will end up on massive contracts. You could sell Theo to China for 50, 60 million.
You're turning into a slave trader. These players have to want to go there, you know, mate.
250 grand a week. 250 yeah, grand
I'd
a week.
Go.
They'd go. I promise you. They're already going, Dave, aren't they? We've seen plenty of transfers over the last couple of months for other clubs. Yeah. And they're being offered 250. The only way these players will go over to China and live there for X amount of years is if they're on disgusting money. And these players are being offered 250, 300 grand a week.
Isn't it tax-free as well?
Tax-free, to go and play for China. Houses all supplied, everything all supplied. Why not?
Look at Ramirez. He was only in his late 20s, wasn't he? Still.
If you want to raise some serious cash, start talking to Beijing.
I don't think they'll be interested in me now.
No.
I'd have been useful 40 years ago, but I don't think so now.
I've heard they like your blogging, though, David. Right then.
They read it from right to left, that's why.
I'll carry on then. And I want to ask you, Danny, are Arsenal playing with a point to prove at the moment? You know, we've seen good wins against Everton, and the last one is a particularly good win as well. It's looking positive, isn't it?
Because like Farage was saying, there's no pressure, because they have shown it over and over. You know, we've lost 14 games this season in all competitions. That's absolutely horrendous. We went, at one point, what was that? 5 or 6 games in a row without a win. And we did put a nice run together in the middle. But there's no pressure on it. I mean, the next one, away at West Ham. And then we're home to Crystal Palace, who you could play 10 men, 8, 6 men, 5-a-side team and win. Then we're at home to West Brom. Again, they're on the beach. Then we're away at Sunderland, who should be down by then. Then we're at home to Norwich. And then our last game of the season, Villa. I'd get Tony Woodcock back, see if he can score another 7 goals against them, or 6 goals, or however many it was. Our season is going to look brilliant, and it's going to get us all excited for next season, because we're playing rubbish teams from now on. And that's because, like Raj was saying, there's no pressure. We failed it. We're not going to win the league. We're out of the cup. We're out of everything else. We've got no chance. Oh, there you go. They all start suddenly playing well.
And West Ham and Manchester City might argue about being called a rubbish team, though.
That's why I went from Norwich to Aston Villa and left out Man City. There again, they're doing their best to try and get to the Champions League final, and I hope they get through against PSG. Sorry, Chris, but if they do, they ain't going to give a damn about playing us in the league, are they? They're going to be trying to concentrate on the Champions League. But the rest of those games, I mean, West Ham is going to be a bloody hard game. Oh, if we come away from that game with a draw with Lazanzi, They're two midfielders.
You've really struggled tonight.
Yeah, well, I've got Payet and the other one. Lanzini, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. To be honest with you, Danny,
it makes for difficult listening. Raj, the question that's on everybody's lips, is the title still there for the taking, or is it gone?
I don't think we'll do it, but it's still mathematically possible. And you wake up every morning on a match day thinking you'll win the game. I've always done that for God knows how many years. So you do have that little kind of candle burning in the background. But you watch Leicester play, and they've had 5-1-0 wins. They're scraping, they're scrapping, and then they're battling for all their games at the moment. And I can't see that changing at the moment. But you hear our friends saying they're going to implode. They've been saying that for about 6 weeks now, and they haven't. But you kind of still hope that we could do it, So we'll see what happens. The Saturday's game's going to be massive. If we do fuck that one up, then that's it. That is 100% it. But then you wake up the next day thinking,
it's still mathematically possible.
It's still mathematically possible, so.
In his chance there, Gim, Raj said he wakes up hoping we can go and win the game. I wake up wondering what the score was.
So literally, yeah. it's not reflected in his predictions for the prediction league, is it?
He had
us down for a hammering against Barcelona. Optimistic, obviously. David, another optimist. Same question for you. Is the title gone?
If we win 7 matches, then I think we win the title. But let me put the big proviso on that. Although I am more confident in Leicester losing 3 than I am in us winning 7.
That's very, very, very true. Mm. And we'll finish off this segment by talking about the boozy antics. Well, then it's not boozy because it apparently wasn't drunk, but the antics of a certain Jack Wilshere. Now, I've put my thoughts on Twitter this week. And you might disagree with me.
How did that go for you?
Oh, it went quite badly because Jack Wilshere's got an awful lot of fans. And I'm a cunt, apparently. But there you go. My thoughts on it is, blatantly got caught at 2:15, little bit of a row outside a club. I think something like the bouncers were Tottenham fans or something like that. The police were involved. I look at it very dimly and I think, if it's off-season, I don't take a second look at things like that. If Jack Wilshere's in the team and playing well and the team's winning, I don't give that a second thought. The truth is Jack Wilshere isn't in the team, so he can't be playing well. He's on the road to recovery, just started training again. And I think in season, players shouldn't be doing things like this. You can say Chesney with a smoking. And it's not the first time with Jack Wilshere. I think it brings bad publicity to the club. It makes him look, quite frankly, like a bit of a chav. And I just think it sits badly with me. I think there's a certain air of professionalism that he fails to grasp in representing Arsenal Football Club. That's what I tweeted. I got pouters for it. What do you boys think of this, Danny?
See, I was about to pop another pretzel in my mouth and I thought, no, I'll risk it. I don't care what he does. I like Jack more than I like nearly any other player or supporter or owner of the club or any of the backroom staff or the stadium itself. They can all fuck off. That's Jack I like. I don't care what he does. He can do no wrong for me.
Was it you that set up that account and called me a horrible C-word then?
No, I was usually tell you that anyway. But no, I don't care what he does. I look at that as if... He quite reminds me of old school 80s George Graham days Arsenal. He has that kind of attitude. He has so much love and passion for the club. I think for me that lets him get away with fucking murder. And just think if back in the days of the Tuesday Club, that if they'd have been out and they've had Bold and Keown and Adams and all that lot all sat in a pub and someone had come up to them with a camera and filming them, they'd have beat the fuck out of them. And that's what I'd have done. If I'd have been Jack or his mates, I'd have gone and lumped every single one of those twats filming it. And that makes his entire life a pain in the ass. What they don't show is the stuff leading up to it. You say he wasn't drunk, so if he goes out, let him go out. I don't care.
But 2:15 in the morning?
I don't care if it's 5 a.m. in the morning. What day of the week was it? Weekend, wasn't it?
I couldn't actually tell you.
Well, there you go. I think it was probably Saturday night. I don't care. But it's all these... You need to know the whole story of what happened beforehand. And what happened beforehand was probably a load of Spurs fans and other dickheads winding him up the whole time. So he decides to go and stand outside. And then someone said, oh, he's gone and hit me, which he probably didn't hit anybody. So then the police were obliged to come and speak to him. We don't know what he said to the police or the police said to him. They might be going, oh, you're right, Jack, any chance of an autograph for my kid? But the papers are making, everything the papers said was, as we understand. That's a little bit like taking quotes from Twitter. It's bullshit. Fuck them all. Jack, you do all right by me. Just can't wait till you're back and you show all these morons what you can do. But after the Euros, please. Not before.
Okay. So that's Danny's thoughts. David, if we can have your thoughts on it.
Oh, I take elements from both of you, quite frankly. I do think he has a kind of a responsibility during the season to try and not put himself in a position where this might happen. But I agree with Danny. We don't know what happened. The newspaper account was, I'm pretty sure, 99% fabrication. Whether it was Tottenham fans involved, whoever, we don't know, and we won't ever know the truth behind that. But yeah, he put himself in that position, and he ought to perhaps think a little bit harder about doing so again in the future, because it's not the first time. Let's face it, it's the second time he's been caught. Is it a nightclub? Apparently acting badly. I can't even get. I'm going to have to get some new teeth, you know.
What's right? It's you and Danny tonight. You just. Oh.
I do apologise, but no, he's got a responsibility to be careful about where he is seen during the season.
Raj.
Pretty much the same as Dave. I'm kind of in between you and Danny in terms of views and stuff. When I first read about it, didn't really lose any sleep over it. Thought it was a bit silly for him to do that kind of stuff. I'm a bit old-fashioned in that if you play for your club, you represent the club on and off the field, especially in the week of Rocastle's anniversary. And it kind of reminded me of how he conducted himself. He's a bit silly, but you don't know whether the reports are true or not. So, and I kind of moved on from it. I didn't really have... I mean, you know, Twitter's just is so horrendous at the moment. One small thing and people go on and on about it for 12 hours. It was ridiculous. So, you know, that was it, really.
I think many people are going to look at this many ways. And I think it's been covered quite well by all of us. So there's nothing left to say, really, on the game other than go to Danny for the best of the Twitter questions, Danny.
Oh, best years ago it was best. Now it's just whatever we've got left, we can be bothered. Dimitri, I think he was drinking the dark stuff because he sent in about 5 questions, 4 of which were absolute nonsense. But I think he did that on purpose. He says, if Czech is fit, does a spinner get dropped or don't disrupt what's working? Gimli, go on.
I think Czech is the first choice. This, if Czech is fit, he goes in goal. Simple as that for me.
Anybody disagree?
No.
David?
No, not at all.
Good. Well, there you go, Dimitri. And as for your other 4 questions, I'm not asking any of them, you silly man.
Were any of them stupid?
Oh, of course they were.
Oh, go on. Let's have one stupid one.
Oh, well, I'll read this next question and I'll see if I can go and find what they were. Peter Kennelly, G'day Sport, says, which of our current loan players do you see making an impact on the first team next season? David can answer that one first while I go and look for this question.
Oh, shall I say Yaya Sanogo?
I can do.
No. I think it's possibly a little bit early for all, but it may be John Terrell, as I said earlier, outside chance. He seems to have done quite well at Birmingham. Now I'll probably get a bunch of people from the Midlands tweeting me to say no, he's been garbage, but I would think he would be the pick of them. I've got a lot of hope for Zillalem, but he's not been.
No.
Thank you. I wonder if they might let him stay up there for a year now that Rangers are in the Premiership and they play against a better class of clogger every week.
Yeah. Raj or Gimli, anything you want to add to that?
No, not really. I think it depends on who we buy in the summer, if at all. If we buy players, then I don't think they've got a remote hell of a chance of getting into the first team squad.
Gimli? I'm
being brutal.
No, I think it's been pretty much covered by Raj and David.
Oh, well, that's very nice to hear. Okay, the questions that Dimitri asked, I don't want answers to any of these, he doesn't deserve answers. Is Zlatan the Chuck Norris of football? Can Leicester City Leicester City's dope doctor return Arteta his legs? And do you think we should re-sign Flamini and sell him to Barca for hashtag profit. See? You made me ask those. Oh, do you hear that noise? That's Dimitri laughing at us.
Oh, Jesus. He's, you know what, I really, sometimes you wish you just hadn't bothered.
You certainly do. All right, this one from Sammy Idia. He asks, I've read a lot of disturbing tweets today from morons on Twitter saying that foreign fans have no right to have an opinion on Arsenal. Raj, anybody, do you want to answer that?
Is this the Kinos?
He didn't mention it, but... I think it could be.
I believe it is.
I just think it's disgusting. For Kinos, the ginger cunt, to come out with that kind of thing today is
outrageous. Those are the views of ABW, by the way, if anyone wonders.
Sorry?
Those are the views of ABW, if anybody wonders.
Well, I just think, you know, look, I've been lucky enough to go around the world with the work I do, and I've met Gooners from all four corners, South Africa, Australia, India, Europe, South America, everywhere. And they've welcomed me. Some of them have welcomed me into their homes, and we've watched games together. I've gone to bars in various places and watched it with the local supporters groups there. And they're as passionate as I am. You know, they see me as the lucky bastard because I get to see the games live. I just think that anyone who kind of denigrates fans from other countries is a racist twat, as far as I'm concerned. And some of the stuff I saw on Twitter today was pretty disgusting. Why pick on people just because they don't go to games? Sometimes, you know, hand on heart, sometimes I get a little bit irritated when I know people comment about ticket prices when they don't go to games, but that these people can be referred to as non-match going fans in the UK as well as overseas fans. But to actually question the support of your club because you live 5,000 miles away or even 50 miles away, well, it's pretty pathetic. You know, this is a global fan base. This is what we need as a club. You know, we don't want fans just restricted to 3 miles around the ground. We're a world famous club, and we're going to attract fans from all over the world. And to hear some of that stuff today is a disgrace, and it's absolutely disgusting. And I find it really, really embarrassing because I've met some of these people, and they're great, they're brilliant, they know more about tactics than I do sometimes, you know, and they're just as passionate as I am. And as I said, I keep going on. They are very, very jealous that we get to see 18, 20, 30 games a season. It takes them years to save up to go and see one game, and it'll cost them several thousand pounds to see one game, if they're lucky. Mm. If they're lucky. I was in India last week. I met three or four Gooners. Some of them are on like £40 a month or something. They watch the games on TV or around someone's house or something like that. And they were brilliant. They were absolutely brilliant. They knew they were aware of the fans, you know, that are divided over the manager situation. They know about everything that's been happening this season. They asked me questions about who do you think we should get in the summer, and they gave me their opinions as well, which were very considered. I understand it. You got, you know, is it really? I mean, I just thought that some of the stuff I saw today was racist, and I think that's disgusting.
Mm.
And then this is Arsenal Football Club that you know, 30 years ago got rid of racism on the terraces, and to hear that kind of shit today, it's depressing. And I think anyone who says that should be condemned.
Mm, I agree.
I've got to give you 100% back in on that, Raj. And it's not only I don't get as around the world as much as you do these days, but you only got to be in the pubs around the ground or even in the stadium on match days to know that we have a huge number of supporters who come over here for home matches from all around Europe, Scandinavia, Germany, France, United States, Canada, Asia. And I've met them. I've managed to sort some tickets out for one or two in the past. They're all knowledgeable. They're all absolutely fanatical about the Arsenal. And that's all you can ask of someone. You cannot deny them an opinion on anything that's Arsenal related, in my opinion.
No, I agree. And even from our point of view here at ABW, I mean, you look at some of the faces that get on our show. We have Dom in Australia/Canada. You know, we have OG, other Jeff. Jeff, big nod to you, the man that runs the blogs. And we've got OJ as well, Shredder, who does the radio show. And all of those people, you speak to them, they're in the other countries, and they have more intelligence when talking about Arsenal than some of the people that I chat to on Twitter that actually do go to the games. I think that what's been said is said by a nobody who has blatantly looked at DT and thought, nice. And really, are those the opinions of someone that we want to take on board? For me, definitely not. Danny?
And don't associate the stuff that Kinos said with the people that he writes for, because that's happened a few times in the past, and one of our mates has got a lot of grief over it. So if you're going to have any kind of hatred towards anybody, just be careful who you aim it at. Just looking at our stats, of the we've had, just looking here, of our last 7,000 listens to, this is on SoundCloud alone, 3,200 UK, 1,300 USA, 400 Australia, 300 Sweden, then 300 Canada, Norway, Ireland, South Africa, Germany, India, Spain, New Zealand, Denmark, the United Arab Emirates, Finland, Malaysia, France, Saudi Arabia. And that's just the top 20 of that lot. We have listeners from all over the world, and we make a point of trying to get as many people on during the transfer window who may not be regular podcasters, because all of our slots are filled. But even with the regular ones, we try and get as many different people. Like we've got Australia, we've got Canada, we've got America, we've got Wales Land with you and Mr. Davis and the missus.
Oh,
and
no, there's a massive following and support for Arsenal in Wales. There's a huge club. Yeah, Arsenal South Wales fan group here.
There's Arsenal Scotland, who they travel like 4 or 5 hours to get to each game, just one way.
Just all pack into a bus and fuck off for an away game. You know, yeah. It's ridiculous. Danny, to further your comments on the whole people associated with this geezer, and we've already said his name, and that's too much of a platform for him already. But just for the people that listen, that know who we're talking about, just remember who's actually made the comments. Don't target the people that's affiliated with him. If you dislike it, target the person that's actually made the tweets and written the tweets, because those are his thoughts, not the thoughts of the people that he knows. Yeah. And that's all I've got to really say on it, because I think, you know, it's a question. We've all answered it. And to be honest, we've probably given this man too much of a platform already. So, Danny?
Yes, next question is going to be, which one should I do? Talking about foreign fans who know nothing about football, AB Guna says, does modern football need to be spoon-fed tactics? Is that why Arsene Wenger has maybe fallen behind, as he doesn't like to micromanage? David, try and make sense of that, because I can't.
God, wowzers. I wouldn't know where to start with that. I take it it's from the angle that I see many people tweeting that Arsene doesn't do tactics. I think we've all seen, certainly over his initial 5, 6, 7 years, successful years in charge, that he most certainly does. And I think it's kind of come back to him in a big way in the last couple of years, where we've started getting results in matches against the other big sides that we weren't getting for a number of years. So I'm thinking particularly, of course, the two wins in Manchester last season, and where he kind of set us up in a different way, to sit deep, to play the rope-a-dope, if you like, rather than go all out with this fast-moving, fast-passing attack against the better opponents. So my answer would be, I think he does do tactics, and it's not passing him by.
Dave, I think it was a suggestion is, has modern football left Arsenal and Wenger behind in terms of methodology and tactics and man management and all that kind of, everything to do with modern man, you know, modern football management?
Entirely subjective, because I'm not there every day in and day out, but I would be very surprised if he were not keeping abreast of everything that's going on out there.
Fair enough.
No, I
I know you might disagree, right? That's all right.
I don't disagree. I don't know. You're spot on. We're not there every day. But I think that was the question, is has he been left behind in that? And I couldn't answer that question. I'm not stupid enough to answer that question.
I think, you know, it's going back to what David said, you know, he has, in big games, got tactics absolutely spot on. To mention one of those games, Man City away last year, we were fantastic.
He's changing his ways, though, isn't he? He didn't used to do that.
Santi Cazorla in that game was phenomenal, and the players played phenomenally. You know, the tactics...
That was a double phenomenon, isn't he?
It was. But that game was that good, it deserved it. It ticked all the boxes. It proved that he can set up against good teams and win. But the problem is, why doesn't it happen every week? There you go. It's an oxymoron.
There again, that was from a Gooner in Canada, and we know how much Canadians know.
Foreign fans know nothing, Danny. We all know this.
That's an idiot. Right, next question is from Rahman AFC. Who doesn't say where he is, but it's not an English-sounding name, so this will probably be a stupid question. Oh. That kit going around, does anyone on the pod hate it? Now, I've asked on my Twitter for anybody who can show me a picture of it, and Akib, that's not an English-sounding name, and Sadia, nor's that, they probably know nothing, but they've both sent me pictures of it, and I think it's bloody awful. Why the hell have we got blue shorts with a red kit?
Oh, it's the one that looks like the chili kit, isn't it?
Oh, it's an absolute... It's awful. When I'm in charge of Arsenal people, I will do a competition and we will make all of our kits in-house and we will have people design competitions and that's how they get made. It'll be brilliant.
I personally didn't mind it. However...
Blue shorts?
It's bollocks. So it's a non-talking point because to say people know the shirt now... I'm sure there are some people that know the shirts, but do they have a Twitter account with a few thousand followers on? Doubt it.
So you think the shirts are made up?
Yeah, blatantly.
About you, Raj? What do you think, or don't you care?
I don't actually give a shit.
How did I know you were going to say that? When was the last time you bought a shirt, Raj? 1984, that green one.
It's been a while. It's been over 25 years.
Is that because of the number of X's you require?
Why don't we just stick to the classic design and leave it at that?
As he goes
money.
Up and down in weight.
Make money, I know. Changes. I know all the business arguments and all the corporate arguments. I do not give a flying fuck about what shirts we wear.
People like Chris love to buy three kits a season. It makes him moist.
Did you see how many pairs of boots that he has? Anyone
These
thought
are wrong
a fucking octopus? How many legs do you actually have for one game, mate?
Yeah, he's shit at football, though. That's what gets me. It's like me having a collection of skateboards. They're fucking pointless. It's not going to make any difference, is it? David, what do you think while you're chuckling away, gasping for breath?
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure that I'm Puma's target market when they're thinking about the designs for the current strip. So.
Yeah.
I'm of a generation, why don't we stick with the classic red and white shirt, white shorts? But, you know, I understand there are youngsters out there who have different ideas these days, and the times they have got to change, but it's shit.
And also, when I'm in charge, we will have no shirt sponsors. It'll have the Arsenal badge, the old Arsenal badge, and the cannon will be round the right way around. And we'll have no sponsorship around the stadium either. And all of your mates above you, Raj, you know, all those executive club box wankers, that's all getting pulled out and we're having more seating.
So basically, when you're in charge of Arsenal, we'll be absolutely skint and we'll still not be buying players.
Yeah, but season tickets are a tenner each as well.
Better be fucking good atmosphere.
Hey! Get in! Yeah. And everyone will be forced to smoke drugs before they come in.
# losing but winning.
Great atmosphere in Division 3.
That's it. Oh, talking about stupid foreigners who know nothing. Gentle German Gooner, who's German. What's your favourite?
Knows fuck all.
Knows fuck all. What's your favourite? Oh, actually, we had him on a little while ago, didn't we? What did we have him on for?
I don't know.
I was speaking to him.
I know. Speaking of
transfer deadline day, I think.
People in foreign countries. We've got Swiss Ramble on next week. He probably knows nothing.
Chocolate munching twat. if he's listening
to this,
we
do actually love Swiss
we do.
Ramble. I've made the mistake of cutting someone off on this podcast, and they took it
jokingly,
and we don't speak anymore. So,
if I'd have known he was on, I'd have waited another week.
You never know. Someone might have an accident between now and then.
Come back. I can guarantee you that our lot will probably not reply when I ask who wants to come on. So, David, the spot's yours.
David, tell people just how big Mr. Swiss Ramble is and how good his finance work is.
Don't know if you've seen this week's piece, or was it last week's piece he did on Burnley Football Club? But I think it was Alistair Campbell who tweeted yesterday, the day before, that people in the Burnley boardroom are reading what he wrote and talking about it and discussing it, which is kind of informs you about how people hold his work in such high regard. And he thoroughly earns it. He does very, very good pieces. To anyone who's not A, following at Swiss Ramble on Twitter, and B, anyone who doesn't read his blog regularly, you are missing an education.
See, then David would know. Gimli, how many of your foot crayon drawings have you had looked at by many boards of football clubs around the country?
Oh, thousands.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because you've been sticking them to their windscreens again?
Oh, no, sometimes I put the crayons in my mouth to draw them as well. I'm artistic.
Oh, there you go. So, getting back to the Mr. Gentle German Gunner, who we did have on the transfer deadline day, and he is indeed German, and Gimli will say and admit that he is actually very gentle.
And he is a lovely, lovely man.
He is. And even if he wasn't, we'd say that just to make a point.
Exactly.
Favourite season run-in, or you lot can have a think, my favourite one is going to be the 1988-89 season, where it culminated with us beating Liverpool 2-1 at Anfield. 2-0 at Anfield, 2-1, what am I thinking about? I was there. Were you lot all there? Oh, I was there twice.
3.5 million of us.
That, for people, just go and buy the DVD or the VHS or the Betamax or the Philips V2000, I think it was called. You should be able to get it on one of those formats. That was a run in and a half because there were so many points ahead of us and no one could ever go to Anfield and win, let alone win 2-0. And the way we did it in the last gasp moment when it was it Dixon on the right, then to Smith, then to Mickey Thomas. Or Michael Thomas. I don't want to get him confused with the other Mickey Thomas. Yeah, that was absolutely stunning. Who wants to go next?
I quite enjoyed 97-98, not only for the pure reason that it was Arsene Wenger's first season, wasn't it? And he won the league, and I'd listened to so many non-Arsenal fans slagging him off. Going, you know, and who is he? And we've never heard of him, and he's going to be shit and all this kind of stuff. And for us to win it first time round, and the excitement as we got closer to winning it, I'll never forget that. I thought it was just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Just shut so many people up.
It was. That was my favourite ever game, the 4-0. And my favourite ever goal was Tony Adams at that game, and I was there. And so was the offspring in its mother's belly. We nearly got squished. Go on. Who's next?
Dave.
Dave.
That'd be me. You'd get a fossilised one now, then. 1970-71. No, not quite. The old man would give you that, but no. 1970-71. Really starting from May 1970, because that was when we won the European Fairs Cup, first trophy in my lifetime. Absolutely amazing night at Highbury. And who knew a year later we'd be dancing on the pitch for a second time in the year, only it'd be at White Hart Lane, not Highbury, after winning the league with a last-minute Ray Kennedy header. That was unbelievable, to win the league for the first time. But 5 days later, I was off at Wembley. We played Liverpool, who were a pretty useful outfit themselves in those days under Bill Shankly. We went a goal down in the first minute of extra time because we drew in 90 minutes 0-0, but then came back and George Graham tried to nick Eddie Kelly's equalising goal, which kind of gave you an early insight into his character. And Charlie George got a winner. We were all behind that goal, and I can still see it clear as day, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. An amazing feeling. And kind of at 14, you think, oh, can it be like this every year?
And unfortunately, it wasn't.
But to be fair, another couple of doubles after that, they still feel great.
You've seen them all then.
Mm.
I mean, I've only remembered three. I was alive then. Gimli, what's your one?
What was the question? So, I missed, is it
best run into a season?
I think probably for me, the Invincible season, not just because of the football play, because where I was at the time, I had a gap year in Australia at the time.
Gap year implies you have some kind of education.
Well, not
yeah,
a gap year.
I say that.
Okay, I went on holiday for a year. I didn't work and I stayed in hotels the whole time. But that year, combined the experience I was having in Australia and getting up
Did you
early.
Meet Dom?
No, I didn't, because I didn't know Dom then. It was back in, you know, 2004, and it was just an incredible time. And the football was superb. The fact of going unbeaten, and I still think even now, most of our fans don't realise just how much of an achievement that season was to go unbeaten. I can stand here, hand on heart, and say we may never ever see that again in our lifetime. That's just how incredible that was, and the money that's coming into football and the lower clubs spending the money and getting the players like Stoke with Shaqiri, the league is so much tighter. You will just never, ever see it again. Not, I don't believe in my lifetime I'll see it again. And that's why it's so special. You know, Man United can joke about their 19-20-21 championships, but have they got a gold one? Have they fuck? Thank you very much.
That's got to do with the fact that you'll be dead by the end of next week with
a cannabis-related illness.
I fell asleep under a bus.
I have been getting quite forgetful lately.
You've already told us that twice.
Have I really?
No. Oh. Right, next question from Issa. Actually, I didn't do any of these questions in any particular order. Issa, who is, I think he's an African bloke living in Saudi, because we had him on.
He was on our transfer deadline day.
And also, before those, we had Dimitri, who sounds Russian, Peter Kennelly, who's in Australia. There's no English people bothering to ask us any questions. Probably
do,
they
do,
know
you know,
it all.
Do you know why?
Why?
It's because the English people don't care.
They don't fucking care. Right.
But maybe they look at us and they say, look, foreigner podcast, Dom. OGOJ. We've no time for that. They know nothing.
Dom isn't even here and it's all about him again, isn't
it? We won't listen because they know nothing. They've got foreigners on their panel. That's it. Shit podcast. Hashtag shit podcast. Hashtag budget podcast.
That's it. Budget Jesus. It's all his fault. Yeah. Anyway, Issa says, can the British core Arsene Wenger re-signed a few seasons ago now be deemed a failure? Felt like this season was make or break. I'm not sure what he means re-signed last a few seasons. Oh, big contracts, wasn't it? Had the big deal of Gibbs and Walcott and Wilshere and Ramsey and all that lot all signed at the big table. Five of them sat at the table, they all signed new deals. That's what he means. Raj, you're taking a deep sigh there. What do you think?
Yes.
Okay, Dave, is that all you're going to say?
Well, I mean, you know, I'll tell you what, let Dave speak and I'll speak against it. Whatever he says, I go opposite.
Just say you agree with Raj, Dave, then he'll have to argue with himself.
Well, I mean, Dave, has it been a success?
Hang on a minute, what's the question?
All these kids we signed and Walcott and all that, and put them on 100 grand a week and 80 grand a week before they'd even played a game and all that kind of stuff. Has it been a success? Go on. It hasn't been.
We're talking about the
Go
whole
on, and
rain.
Then he tells you the answer.
are we talking about the whole reign?
No,
just the recent one.
Recent 5-6 years, I think that's what I'm saying.
Then you have to say, given that we're not yet at the end of this season, which may prove that it all has been, I've always argued that as long as we're improving, then things are on the up. I don't see us improving this year, because we're not going to have the FA Cup. I don't see us finishing in first place, which is really the only way you can demonstrate improvement over last season. So, a sorry to say no.
Finally got him to do it.
But you knew I'd done that a couple of weeks ago. I did that after the Watford Cup tie, Raj.
Yeah, let's not go negative on this one today. We don't need to talk about that.
No, I can mix this up a bit.
Go on, you mix it up.
Does the fact that Chris now lives under the sea make him a foreign fan?
No, but he's SpongeBob pants do though.
No, he's not. He's fucking sponge knob.
Fucking mermaids coming in here, nicking our seats.
Yeah.
You fucking sea shanties rather than real football songs. Get out. Toilet. Right.
Anyway,
Carl.
Next question.
Carl, the final one is from Carl, who is that_London_guy, because I didn't put that in here. He's from our very own radio show. We had a very good radio show the other day. He started asking the Twitter questions. Look at him taking over my job. I might as well just not exist. It says, if the Spuds finish above us this season, how long will we hear there's a power shift, as those morons would say, in North London for us? Gimli, go on, go mad.
Quite quickly. It's not going to happen, but for the rest of time is the answer if it did. It won't happen. It won't happen.
No. David, I'll let Raj finish on this one.
Very simple. It won't happen.
That wasn't the question.
Oh, look at him getting all bossy.
Well, the answer is forever. They're like Liverpool fans, aren't they? They get one bit of glory and they keep barking on about it for the next 50 years.
The correct answer is the second, if it were to happen, the second it happened, my phone would be ringing off the hook. The second it happened. There's not going to be an open. I will wait until tomorrow morning and then we'll start going on about it. The second it happened, it will be all over social media. My life will be over personally. I'd have to change my phone number. That's how quickly it's going to happen. But I don't think it will. I think Tottenham will bottle it again.
If you change They're your phone number, enough. That's a lot of telephone boxes you're going to have to go to change it.
Oh,
well, Tottenham will be back to square one by next summer because Eric Dier's already got interest from, is it Bayern Munich? You know, they can't keep the calibre of players that they've got, so...
New stadium. Have to sell everybody.
No, exactly.
But they look at the points. Go on.
I was just saying that moving to this new stadium, people slag off Arsene Wenger. You can't deny what he's done with the team, with the funds that he's had. You can't deny that. That's fucking fact. They are going to go through the same thing, and they will be an absolute tin pot club, back to being a tin pot club for 10 years. Look at them. They were in the Champions League for one season.
3 minutes.
Where have they been since? They've got fucking big mouths and fuck all to back it up with. They're a joke of a club. The fact is that they are where they are now. They will spontaneously collapse because of who they are. They are a fucking joke.
Well, look at the league table at the moment. If we win our game in hand, which we will, then we'll be 1 point behind them. And then you look at their games coming up. At home to Man United, away at Stoke, not easy. At home to West Brom is easy. Away at Chelsea, Chelsea hate them as much as we do. At home to Southampton, who are no mugs. Away at Newcastle, fighting for their life on the last game of the season. I reckon we're going to finish about 3 points, 3 or 4 points above them when the league is over. As long as Wenger doesn't Wenger it up. So there you go. That's anyone want to say anything finally on that? Have I asked everybody?
Yeah, the fact that it's so funny that they got so close and they failed. Simple, because they ain't going to win the league, right? So they've got that close. All their hopes are up. They probably think they're better than Barcelona now. You know what a deluded bunch of pricks they are. And the fact that they're going to be let down, again, it's another season where they'll hit the ground with a thunderous thump and they'll go back to realising they have a mediocre team with a shit manager and a big chin tosser up front.
And that manager will be off to Man United at the end of this or next
season. Of course he will. Is that Tottenham are always famous and a joke for being a stepping stone club.
He'll take Harry Kane with him.
Yep, of course he will.
Maybe the new Sheringham.
You can already tell that Harry Kane has got absolutely no allegiance, that he was Arsenal and now he claims to be diehard Tottenham. Fuck off, mate, you're a joke.
He was a reject of Arsenal.
Yes.
Right, there you go. That's all the questions. Unless anyone either of you two want to add a final kick in the testicles to the dirty scum?
I'm rolling a spliff. Can't you get another question?
I can make one up.
Yeah, make one up.
David, you're chuckling away. Do you want to add anything to that?
No, I'm going to be chuckling like this on the day that we finally celebrate St. Tottenham's again at the end of this season.
Amen.
Yeah, we should do a sweepstake on when that St. Tottenham's day is going to be. You know how shit they are because they don't even have a day for the day they finish above us because it's pointless.
Yeah.
It's even a leap year is more regular. What's it been? 18 consecutive seasons we finished above them, Raj.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
See, you look at Tottenham, like home games.
You're rolling some medication for your poorly back.
Shush. No, so you look at the support on the home games and it looks like fucking Jeremy Kyle has been to Stoke with a net and just dropped him off at White Hart Lane. It really does, doesn't it?
Oh, that's so sadly true. Well, I haven't got. I've just had a sweep through. I've just done a little tweet saying to people, "Why do we sing our moronic song when someone says Zelalem?"
Na 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 na.
I hear you ask.
Na 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 na.
Have a listen to this. I've put the little YouTube in, and I've said thanks to Ian, who is at UK Vampire, who made that, and that was our very first video we put on YouTube. And to this day, it's had 3,100 views and only one thumbs down. You know, our last Ian podcast got 12 thumbs up and 11 thumbs down.
You know Ian is ginger because all people called Ian are ginger.
Well, it's I-A-A-I-A-A-N as well, so it's the Scottish version.
Exactly.
So it has to be.
Ian Beale, I tell no lies.
No, there are no lies to be told.
No.
All right, there you go. That's all the questions done. I am actually sat on our website about to edit the predictions page so I don't get this wrong.
Well, that's quite fitting then that predictions are next on the agenda for the show.
Hello.
Well, that's quite tidy, isn't it?
It is.
It's a bit too neat and tidy for ABW.
It's
seamless.
We should do shout-outs first, just to break normality.
We have a new system, didn't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Do you want to tell people about the shout-out system?
Well, I'm getting a little bit fed up with having to pretend to be nice to people every week. I don't like it. We struggle. And you know me. I don't know if you lot have noticed in the WhatsApp group, I tend to moan about a little bit about things. Have you noticed?
A little bit.
Yeah. And taking a leaf out of our good mates of Daniel and
Goonosphere,
Daniel and Stokes
and
Jockman and Simi Javel and the Green Banton and all those other ones there, they do a cunt of the week. But we're not going to quite do that. I said, can I have either a shout? You say to people, shout out or anti shout out? And I said, let's do that, because then we can either be nice and give a shout out, or we can be not nice and give an anti shout out and to someone we don't like or something.
Is this yeah. appropriate with my thoughts on Mo?
No, your one is Mo every week.
I live in Wales. Seriously.
Yes. You're just jealous.
No, I'm not.
You love him.
No, I don't.
He misses Mo.
He's a wing nut tosser.
Right, so go on, get on with it. What are we doing next? Predictions, or are we doing the shout out, anti shout out?
I don't know. I've actually lost the will to live.
Oh, get on with it.
Oh, let's do predictions then.
Okay.
It's the same every week. We're not going to break from tradition.
Oh, it's important for Raj. He's fallen behind in the point stake, isn't he, Raj? Do you know what the points are?
Yes. I might have to have a gamble.
52, you on 44.
Yeah.
Might have I'm coming up for
And Gimli's only a point behind you. He's right up behind. Oh, you could smell him. He's so close.
I can smell him.
I can smell that pizza coming through, Raj.
It's a sickly sweet sort of a smell.
I never knew ginger hair could stink that much.
In your face. Ginger on top, smelly box. That's my prediction.
What's your prediction then, Gim?
2-0 Sanchez. Thank you very much and good night. Raj?
2-1 to West Ham. I've got to go for it.
I quote you at the start of this podcast. You said, "Oh, we all wake up on a match day and feel positive."
I do. I still feel that, but I've got to. This is completely different
tactics. It's tactics. There's a lot of silverware at stake.
You won't change your prediction on match day. You lied.
I might change my prediction on match day, but I'll do 2-1 West Ham, and I think.
Carroll's looking. Oh, it's got
Ozil will score. I've got to go for a big
1-0 up, 2-1 down.
Yep.
Ooh, sneaky. I'd pick Payet. I'm going to go 1-1, and Payet score the first goal. That's the West Ham one, because he's the only player I can remember and be able to know how to spell.
Okay, David?
4-2 Arsenal, Danny Welbeck.
Oh, you like it. It's a tasty prediction, that one.
Oh, it's going to click update. There you go.
It's going to be one of those games on Saturday.
It's on the site, ready to go. Actually, I didn't put David's thing in because he can do it for the listeners. So if I go a little bit further down, I can find him. Yes. Oh, there we go. The Goonaholic. You know, someone else has got Goonaholic, so you had to get the.
Mm.
Did you take yours first, or did they get theirs first?
No, he got it first.
Swine.
Do you know what I found out?
And
this
he's
week?
A foreigner. He doesn't know bugger all about the club.
Dirty foreign bastard.
Tweet him. Do you remember that my Twitter name used to be not at name, but the name that I used to be at Herbert Burger Pants?
Yeah.
There is an at Herbert Burger Pants.
No.
What the actual fuck? God. And that came from my mind, Herbert Burger Pants, and someone has nicked Herbert Burger Pants. What the fuck? Anyway, shout outs. Danny?
There's a Herbert Burger. He's only ever done two tweets.
No, type in Herbert Burger Pants. Seriously, I said to him, nice name. And he put, yeah, I nicked it from you. I'm like, cheers.
Was that your alter ego? Or was it a completely different person?
No, it wasn't.
Oh. So you have to ask the question, Gimli.
Are you a positive shout out or are you an anti? We already know where this is going.
My mind is an anti.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Yes, I was watching The Underground on Channel 5, quite a fine programme. Our very own Carl from the radio show should be on it sooner rather than later. But there was some knob on there, and he was doing the fashion bit where they get their new designed clothes for The Underground. And then he stood there and he gave a salute. If you have never been in any of the forces, be that Army, Navy, Air Force, or the police, or the Sally Army, or the Girl Guides, or the Boys Brigade, or whichever way around it goes, and you're one of those pricks that goes around saluting people when you see them, or when they go goodbye, you, sir, are a twat. I was going to say cunt, but it's not appropriate. So don't fucking do it. You salute, you're a moron. Stop it. Unless you did it for a living. There you go. Fuck 'em.
Lovely. I like it. Raj?
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you a saluter?
No, definitely not. I'm a supporter of your campaign against
good
saluters.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. Raj?
At Gunner Dev. There you go.
Foreign fan?
I don't know, he might be.
Does he know anything about football?
He's entertaining enough to keep me amused on my timeline.
That's a no.
Which has been very toxic.
So again, yeah, that's a no.
I'm definitely going to spread the love this week. Ooh. And I'm going for a lovely fella who I've seen in the pub a few times before games, at Buxton Gooner. If you've not seen his tweets before, then get
guy.
On the case.
He's a good guy.
Nice fella.
Yeah, he's absolutely a good guy. He's one of the best. Comes down from, would you believe, Buxton.
does he bring plenty of water with him for everyone?
Oh, yeah.
Buxton fizzy water.
Danny, your
hello.
Jokes are so... Can you just cut these jokes out? Just edit it. It's embarrassing.
I know.
Do you know what is a joke? You turning up 15 minutes late and then going, come on then, boys, come on.
Every week. Hold on.
Shit,
Dom wouldn't do this.
No, he wouldn't.
Dom's always on time.
7:30 p.m. you say on the WhatsApp every week. 7:30 p.m, Raj, right, yeah. 8 o'clock we started today. 8
you
o'clock...
You turned up 14 minutes late.
I was waiting until you asked me to come on. So I'm not going to come on and talk bollocks for 25 minutes.
He's got a point.
I don't think he loves this podcast.
No.
No. Weep from the chat. He's like, he has our Theo Walcott. He disappears for fucking months on end and then comes back. It's like, what the fuck?
I want to be paid per appearance. And if you do that, I'll make a bigger effort.
You can have a 50% share of all the money we make from every podcast.
I've heard you guys earn about £500 a podcast.
No, listen to him, though. He does sound like Theo Walcott, doesn't he? Oh, we'll fucking pay rise.
Yeah.
Just to make it clear, we don't pay anyone.
We don't get any money.
I'll make a bigger effort at the end of the season when I know my job's on the line.
Last year, you sorted out some cracker guests. This year, what
Nothing.
The fuck? Pull your finger out your ass.
Or someone else's.
Get with the programme, dickhead. What's gone on?
Well, what's all this shit going on now? I mean, why are you having a go at me?
Oh, it's terrible.
I'm just saying facts that you lost.
All I'm saying, right, is, you know, step it up and you might get something back.
There you go.
Oh, that is back, though.
We don't even pay for his food while he's podding, do we? He needs three people, donate. Raj needs three gattos per pod to keep him going.
Chat box, you'll see my picture of my dinner today.
Hashtag make up a towel.
Our Steve has put a little thing in the WhatsApp. It says Blackadder quotes, and he quotes, never ask for directions in Wales, Baldrick. You'll be washing spit out of your hair for a fortnight.
That is true, actually.
That's raised the tone quick. End it.
I've got my shout-out to give. As many of you know, I started up my own small business this week selling shirts. I won't go into any more than that. But go and have a look at my Twitter, at Gunnar Gimley. I'm constantly retweeting my other page. And my shout-out goes to a man that has just inquired and that I'm talking to on Twitter at the moment. He goes by the name of at Mark Tullett, and that's MarcTullett. E.T.
Isn't he in Australia?
You
fucking hope not if you want some.
Postage unpacking will be a bit much, but no, I don't think he is. But he's a lovely guy. He listens to this podcast. So I said I'd give him my shout out. So, Mark, thank you very much. And to all the people that have bought shirts from me this week and cleaned me out and made me a bit rich, thank you very much as also. Danny, is there anything else?
Just for you to say goodbye.
Wonderful. thank you very much to all of my panellists tonight. Jeff Arsenal couldn't make it because he's too lazy to reply to his DMs.
Get down, dog.
Get down, bouncer. No, that's Dom. Raj, Dom. David, thank you so much. Danny, you have
Hello?
To be here as always. So your thanks, you go unappreciated again.
And so do you.
Yes, wonderful.
Hello!
Oh.
Oh, no.
Let's be honest, it gets a bit tedious, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
You do it.
Hello!
He's on soon, isn't he?
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, dear. It'll be 3 hours of hello.
Love you, Jace.
I feel like having Lionel Richie here. Hey!
Hey! So that was a Burkamp Wonderland podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And keep it Arsenal. Good night.
Nanu nanu, cheeky monkeys.
Gotta take a little time, a little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm older. I wanna know.
and keep at Arsenal. Good night.
Nanu nanu, cheeky monkeys. But not the foreign fans. You can all fuck off.
You know nothing.
Nothing.
Know nothing.
They're probably trying to tune us in on the microwave, you idiots.
They're probably spitting their crayons out, going, it's 4-4-2, go back to 4-4-2.
It's working for Leicester.
Mm.
There you go, who knew?
You know it's
1 hour, 23 minutes.
Was that not good?
1 hour, 23 minutes.
Was that not good?
That's better.
Well, we were getting there. It's only 7 minutes. But
Aussie Dom is going to be pissed off with that one.
No, because I'm going to put, he's asked me, I let Dom pick the end music. He's picked Beethoven's Fifth Concerto.
Fuck off, don't do that.
4 hours long it is.
Thank you very much, boys. I think that was actually a really good podcast.
It was good. And always good.
And plus, it was an upbeat one. There was a lot of laughs to be had. People will be sitting on YouTube tomorrow laughing.
Yeah, you don't want to keep complaining on about the same old shit every week anyway. So
at us, not with us.
And you know I wasn't serious, Raj, don't you?
What?
I wasn't serious.
Yeah, of course I did.
Good. Don't start trying to dig yourself out of trouble now.
I'm not digging myself out of nothing. I mean, if he wants to find a celebrity guest for the podcast, do you want mine to tell him no?
Yes, he's got the cricket bloke lined up.
Oh. Gim, do you want flowers or donations?
Flowers. I like flowers. Especially in my hair.
I'm going to have some Leb Zip now, I think. Fucking
well, who's a brave soldier for pulling through? Well done.
I wouldn't have. I'm
around for a few weeks. Just ask me whenever you want me to go on. It's not a problem.
On a serious note, though, David, if you really wanted to be on with Swiss Ramble next week, it's not a problem.
Well,
you want to say the Gimli.
No. See how the others do, because people get fed up with the same voice every week. But
yeah, no one else will bother replying when he says who else wants in.
Well, if no one replies, I'm in.
I would rather.
If you're struggling for a guest any week, just ask me. Yeah, but I don't expect to go on all the time.
Can't afford you, Raj.
Fucking, I need paying. Honestly, it costs me £21.48 for every pizza I eat on this fucking pod. Honestly,
we're making
you
on
the fucking caviar.
No, because I like 12 toppings.
12 toppings on a pizza.
You was missed on Saturday, Raj.
Oh, I was so gutted. Honestly, Dave, I was sick as a dog.
Be fair, I wanted it to be a bit of a rough meal, because then I'd say to Jeff, well, I think I'll pick there next time. But actually, no, it was really good. And we had the four of us. There was two not drinking. Gary came along with Jeff.
Is that Gary Lawrence?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've met him. He's a nice guy. So, I was going to...
We had two courses each, and then there was a bottle of wine, so me and Livers paid a bit more. But the bill came at £92 for the four of us.
Oh, that's why the memory of the game was hazy,
real good
David.
Club.
I know Gary, I follow him on Twitter.
When are you down next, Dave?
Palace on Sunday week.
We could do brunch if you want.
I think it's a 4 o'clock on a Sunday, isn't it? I've got a feeling I'm already sorted.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I'll have a look. It'd be best if we had another Saturday one, Saturday
so,
lunch.
So it's Sunday.
It's awkward for me to get up early on a Sunday.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Not a problem. Right, yeah. I'm going to go and...
Kate, watch out, because there's a kitten under there. There's a kitten about there. Yeah, anyway, thank you very much for that tonight, boys. It was very good. I really enjoyed it.
Good stuff.
Maybe I shouldn't have called Kinos a cunt, but there you go, tough tits.
maybe Ginger cunt.